Well, good morning. It's a joy to see you all this morning. Let us pray together. Almighty God, you see all things, you know all things, and you are everywhere. There is nowhere that we can hide from you. We cannot hide our deepest, darkest secrets or our deepest, darkest sins from you because you know and you see. I pray that as you reveal this truth to us this morning, that we would run to you, knowing that we cannot hide from you, but we can hide in you. And I pray that we would do that. I pray that we would find our shelter and our covering and our hiding place in Christ Jesus. Speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we dive in this morning, we got our words for kids, and Peggy did a good job kind of knowing where I was going, but our two words this morning were hide and see. Almost hide and seek, but hide and see. Those are our words for kids this morning. So we're coming back to our sermon series in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And this morning we will be on Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, and we're going to go through verse 13. So Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 13. Please take your copy of God's Word and turn there with me. Lord willing, the plan is... Oh, we're not quite standing yet. I love your enthusiasm, though. Love it. Lord willing, the plan is for the next 5 weeks, we'll be in Genesis 1 through 3, and that includes today. And then, Lord willing, as we enter the summer, I'm going to do a sermon series on suffering. So that's kind of the plan as we head into the next number of weeks. Now, in this series, I've been arguing that we need to have a biblical worldview. That is, we need to have the Bible be the lens through which we view and interpret all of life. And I pray that as we've been looking at the foundation of the biblical worldview, that we all have been learning and growing and applying Scripture and seeing everything through the lens of Scripture. But our series is focusing on the foundation of the biblical worldview, and that foundation is our theme for this series, which you hear me say over and over again. God created all things. Mankind sinned against God. God promises redemption. And God will make all things new. Now, previously, on Genesis 1 through 3, we've seen God make all things, and at the end of his making of all things, he declared it very good. And then 2 weeks ago, we looked at where things went very wrong, and we saw that Adam and Eve, well, especially Eve, was deceived by the serpent, and she ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in which she was not supposed to eat. And she took and she ate and she gave some to her husband who was with her. And now our passage picks up right after they ate the fruit. So that's where we're picking up in our passage this morning. Genesis 3, verses 7 through 13. Please stand for the reading of the Word of God. So again, right after they ate the fruit. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." God said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." This is God's holy word that cannot and does not fail. You may be seated. When I was a child, I was really afraid of the dark. And one of the things that I used to do to cope with this fear, especially at night, is I would hide myself completely under my covers. Now, if you've ever experienced this before, you know that when you're hiding under the covers, you can't even have one toe poking out, you can't even have a thumb or a finger, you have to be completely hidden and covered from whatever it is you might be afraid of. I was afraid, and so I hid. We may not always realize it, but we do a similar thing when we sin. When we sin, it's easy for us to be afraid of God and then to hide from God. And we might not even realize that we're afraid, or we might not even be afraid of God, but it can be easy for us to hide our sin from God. There are many ways that we try to hide our sin from God. We hide by making excuses for our sin. Oh, I'm suffering, so it's okay for me to be angry. We hide by putting on false appearances, pretending that our struggle with sin isn't that bad. Oh, this struggle with lust and pornography, it's really not a big deal. God doesn't care. We hide by blaming our sin on others or on our circumstances. Oh, it's not my fault that I'm sinning. This person or this circumstance made me do it. Or we hide by downplaying our sin. You know, my gossip really isn't that bad. Everybody does it. It is really easy for us to try to hide our sin from God in these many ways. But trying to hide your sin from God is like hiding under a blanket. It's a false sense of security. In what ways are you trying to hide your sin from God? Beloved, you cannot hide your sin from God. You cannot hide from God. So as I said, last time we left off, right after Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of which they were not supposed to eat, God said that in the day that they eat of it, they will surely die. And so again, our narrative picks up right after they ate of the fruit of the tree. So look at verse 7 again with me. Right after they ate the fruit, then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. When they sinned against God, when they ate the fruit of this tree, their eyes were opened to the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that before Genesis 3, Adam and Eve were innocent. They were sinless. They only knew good things. But now sin has entered the world and their eyes have been opened to the knowledge of good and evil. A few weeks ago, in describing what it means to have our eyes opened, I used the illustration of a blanket, and actually we can just think of Peggy hiding under the blanket. Peggy was hidden under the blanket, but when she opened the blanket, she was revealed. You knew who was under the blanket. Your eyes were opened to what was previously hidden. In this case, it was Peggy hiding underneath the blanket. In the same way, their eyes have been opened to the knowledge of good and evil. And if you remember, this knowledge is an intimate and experiential knowledge. It's not just a head knowledge, it's a heart knowledge. Their eyes have been opened to good and evil. They have now experienced both good and evil. In other words, they are no longer innocent, but they are guilty. They are no longer pure, but they are unclean. They are no longer clean, but they are defiled. They are no longer sinless, but they are sinners. Sin has entered their hearts, and they will never be the same. Sin has entered the world, and the world will never be the same. Their eyes were opened, and they knew that they were naked. This is the first thing that they noticed. And remember, before sin had entered the world, they were naked and they were not ashamed. They were innocent and they were sinless. They had nothing of which to be ashamed. But now that their eyes are opened, they are naked and they are ashamed. They became completely exposed, both physically and morally. And now they don't trust one another anymore. They don't trust God anymore, and they're afraid and they are hiding from God. The immediate results of sin are shame and alienation. Sin brings shame and sin brings alienation or separation from one another, from God, and as we'll see, even from their work, it brings separation even in who they were meant to be as man and woman. Sin has wreaked havoc on every aspect of creation. So they realized that they were naked and they tried to cover themselves, and so they sewed fig leaves together and they made loincloths. They tried to hide themselves. They tried to cover themselves. Now last week when I was flipping pancakes for the Easter breakfast, I was wearing a really good-looking apron. I don't know if you saw me. I was back there flipping. But I wore that apron because I was trying to cover my, I had my nice church clothes underneath. I was trying to cover myself from getting grease or whatever on it. And so I tried to cover myself with the apron. And this is what Adam and Eve are doing. They're trying to cover themselves by sewing this loincloth together. But as we'll see, they cannot cover themselves from God. We cannot cover ourselves. We need to be covered in something greater. So this leads to verse 8. Look at verse 8 with me in your Bibles. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So they heard the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And I think sometimes we get this idea that God is just kind of bebopping around. He's just going for a stroll in the garden and just thinking, hey, I wonder what Adam and Eve are up to today. But that's not at all what is going on here. Hebrew expert, Hebrew scholar Miles Van Pelt says that the cool of the day is better translated the storm or the wind of the storm. And what's happening here is the Lord God is coming down in a judgment storm. And this is why they were afraid and they hid. And we see this all throughout the Bible. When God gave the Ten Commandments to the Israelites, he came down on Mount Sinai and he came down in a huge storm and there was thunder and lightning and the people were afraid. Hebrews 12 says that even Moses was afraid and he said, I tremble with fear. And the people were so scared of coming near to God, they were begging Moses, Moses, you go talk to the Lord because we can't go near him unless we die. But God came down in this storm cloud. Again, in Job 38, verse 1, when the Lord God responds to Job, it says, the Lord God responds to Job out of the whirlwind. He comes down in this judgment storm. And how does Job respond? He repented in dust, in ashes. In Zephaniah 2:2, the prophet uses similar language as Genesis 3:8 to describe the day of the anger of the Lord. Now, I say all of that and I use all of those examples to say that this is what is happening here in Genesis 3, verse 8. God is not just strolling around as an afternoon walk in the garden. He's not just bebopping around. He's coming down in a judgment storm. This is a description of the just anger of the Lord God. And what we see is that in the context of sin, we learn more about the character of God. Sin reveals aspects of the character of God that we would not otherwise know. The darker the background, the brighter the light will shine. And here in the context of sin, we learn that God is holy, that he is completely set apart from sin and sinners. We learn that he is just, that he hates sin and he must judge it. We learn that God is scary, that it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. God is not what the American church has made God out to be, some squishy jellyfish with no backbone. God is the almighty, sovereign, holy, righteous God who will by no means clear the guilty. God is to be feared above all things. Or to say it in another way, God is scary. You need Jesus. So the Lord comes down in a judgment storm here, and Adam and Eve were scared, and they tried to hide themselves from God in the garden. The boys and I like to play hide and seek, and for me, it's really easy and fun to play with them because they find hiding spots. They find good hiding spots, but they always giggle. So it's really easy to know where they're at because you just listen with your ears. But when I hide from them, I have one secret hiding spot. There's one place where they have never found me yet. I have the secret hiding spot. Now, as you think about Adam and Eve, do you think that there is a secret hiding spot where they can hide from God? No. There's no such hiding place in all of the visible and invisible realms. God is everywhere all the time. There is nowhere that they can go to hide from God. God knows everything. You cannot cover yourself from Him. God sees everything. You cannot hide from Him. You cannot hide under your covers from God. He knows when you sit down. He knows when you rise. He understands even your thoughts. He is acquainted with all of your ways. Before a word is even formed on your tongue, He knows what it is going to be. You cannot flee from His presence. If you go up to heaven, He is there. If you go down to Sheol, He is there. If you go as far west as you can, He is there. If you go as far east as you can, God is there. If you go down to the bottom of the ocean, God is there. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. The Lord is in His holy temple, and His eyes see and test the children of man. And there is no creature that can be hidden from God's sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him whom we must give an account. You cannot hide from God. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is everywhere. And this means that on your own, every aspect of you is naked and exposed before God. You cannot hide yourself. You cannot cover yourself. You need to be hidden in someone else. You need to be covered by someone else. You need to be clothed by someone else. And this is the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Beloved believer, God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be naked and exposed in our place. Jesus took on all of our guilt. Jesus took on all of our shame. Jesus bore the full storm of God's judgment on our behalf. And so, beloved believer, in Christ, you are hidden from the judgment storm of God. In Christ, you are covered by the blood of Christ. In Christ, you are clothed in His righteousness. In Christ, God knows more about you than you can even possibly comprehend, but He loves you more than our brains can even understand. In Christ, God still sees and He hears and He knows everything that we think and say and do, but we can come to Him and confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us. In Christ, the truth of God seeing and knowing everything is no longer scary, but it is a deep, deep comfort, because in Christ, God sees you, He knows you, and He cares. In Christ, what should be scary, God's holiness and His judgment and His wrath, but in Christ, it is a deep, deep comfort. You cannot cover yourself from God, but you can cover yourself in Christ. You cannot hide yourself from God, but you can hide yourself in Christ. So, beloved, hide yourself in Christ. Hide yourself in the rock of refuge. Hide yourself in Jesus as the shelter from the storm of God's wrath. Now, as we think about this, just think for a moment what this means for those who do not know Christ. For those who do not believe in Christ, for those who are not in Christ, it means that they are naked and exposed before God, earning and deserving His full wrath and judgment for their sins. And I pray that this reality and this truth would give us a deep burden for our neighbors, for our friends, for our family members who do not know Christ. Because the only way that they can be saved from the wrath of God is in Christ and in Christ alone. Okay, this leads us to verse 9. So the Lord comes down and he says in verse 9, "But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" So the Lord God comes first to the man, because the man, as we looked at in Genesis 2, the man is the head steward. He's the one who's responsible. He's accountable directly to God. And remember that God is coming down in a judgment storm, and he could immediately and justly destroy them for their sins. But what's amazing is that God comes down and he asks questions. Where are you? Now, we know that God knows where he is. He's not asking this because he's ignorant. He's asking this because he's giving the man an opportunity to confess and admit his sin. So God calls out to the man, "Where are you?" And the man responds in verse 10. Look at verse 10 with me. And the man said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." The man used to enjoy the immediate presence of God. He used to have deep relationship with God. But now that sin has entered the world, instead of welcoming the sound of God in the garden, he is now afraid and he hides. Instead of enjoying the presence of God, he flees from the presence of God because his sin is fully exposed before the holy God. Sin brings alienation and separation from God. Sin causes us to want to hide from God because it makes us afraid of him. What sins are you trying to hide from God? Beloved, you cannot hide from God. Adam was afraid because he was naked and he tried to hide himself. But the Lord responds in verse 11. Look at verse 11 with me. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" Again, God is not asking this because he doesn't know the answer. Of course, God knows the answer. He knows what has happened. This is why he's coming down in a storm of judgment. Because God sees and knows everything. You cannot hide from God. But God is asking these questions as a way of laying the charge against the man. He's asking these questions as a way of letting the man know that he has sinned and he is guilty. It'd be like if a child told a lie right to your face. You know that it's a lie. The child knows that it's a lie, but you still ask, "Did you just lie to me?" You're not asking that question because you don't know. You're asking that question as a way of laying the charge against the child, of saying, "You have lied." And you're giving them an opportunity to confess and repent. And that is what God is doing here. He's asking these questions as a way of letting the man know that he has sinned and guilty, but it's also a way of showing his grace because he's given him an opportunity to respond. So let us see how the man handles this responsibility or this opportunity to respond. Look at verse 12 with me. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to me, she gave me fruit of the tree and I ate." God knows that the man is guilty. The man knows that he is guilty. But instead of a heart of repentance, the man shifts the blame on the woman and on God. "The woman whom you gave to me, God, she made me do it. It wasn't my fault. It was this woman's fault. But it wasn't even the woman's fault. It was the woman that you gave to me, God." See how he's passing the blame on the woman and then ultimately on to God. This is not what he was singing when he first received the woman in Genesis 2:23, when he rejoiced in poetry over her. Now he's passing the blame onto her. And we need to be very careful that we do not pass the blame of our sin on other people. Passing the blame for sin is a major way that we hide our sin from God, or at least we try to. It's not my fault I lied. My brother or sister made me do it. If that person didn't hurt me so bad, then I wouldn't be filled with unforgiveness and bitterness. I'm just discontent because God hasn't given me what I wanted. Do you see how all of those are passing the blame on another person? When are you tempted to hide your sin from God by passing the blame on others? You cannot hide from God. All right, so then God goes to the woman in verse 13. Look at verse 13 with me. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Now, even though we know from other passages in Scripture that the woman was indeed deceived here, we also see her passing the blame on the serpent. This serpent deceived me, and therefore I ate. Again, we need to be really careful about trying to hide our sin by passing the blame on others. But what's amazing in all of this, this is the fall. Sin had just entered the world. And what's amazing is that we see God's character, and especially we see His goodness and His grace. The man and the woman doubted the goodness of God. And how does God respond? He responds by showing His goodness to them. And what I mean in particular is that God knows the condition that they are in, and He immediately goes to the source. He could have justly and immediately just destroyed them for their sin. That's what He said He would do. But He comes by asking questions, and He moves to the heart of the problem, and He gives them an opportunity to confess and repent. Now, as we'll see, there's still deep and abiding consequences for sin, but it's God's goodness and grace that they are not immediately killed. And this sets the stage for two of the major themes throughout Scripture. Even when we are faithless, God remains faithful. Or another major theme, God is good all of the time, and all of the time, God is good. But as we conclude here, in what ways are you tempted to hide your sin from God? What sins are you trying to hide from Him? Stop trying to hide your sin from God. You cannot hide yourself from God, but you can hide yourself in Christ. And so hide yourself in Christ. Take cover in Christ. Cover yourself in Christ. Clothe yourself in Christ. Make Jesus your hiding blanket. Again, you cannot hide yourself from God, but you can hide yourself in Christ. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we pray that You would forgive us for when and where we have tried to hide our sin from You. Forgive us for passing the blame of our sin on others. Forgive us for downplaying our sin. Forgive us for trying to hide from You. God, I pray that You would help us to see that we cannot hide from You, that You know all things and see all things, and You are everywhere all of the time. And I pray that You would help us to live a lifestyle of repentance, knowing that You see and You know. But I also pray for us believers. I pray that we would be deeply comforted by the truth that You know and You see, and yet You care and You love so deeply. God, would we hide ourselves in Christ, and would we be deeply comforted by His refuge? We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.